Okay, let's go through the Lachos of the Seder. Kadesh. The Kadesh has the whole Revias. How big is the Revias? Now, the first night Seder, the first Kadesh of the Seder of the first night is Friday night, so it's the, even though the Din of Kadesh, the Kiddush al Kadesh is the Rabbanan, but the Ikir Chiyuv of Kiddush Friday night is the Raisa. So Mishnah Berurah says you should be marked on the larger shear for the first kais, but the remaining kaises of the first night, all the kaises of the second night, you don't have to do that. So the a shear which is quite halakhically acceptable for all of the kaises except for the first one is 2.9 ounces. Okay, it's not very big. Okay, no. This cup holds 12 ounces, right? Yeah. It's 3 ounces, one quarter of that. A Ramosha's shear is 3.3 ounces, a little larger than that. The Chachila, a person should drink the whole kais. And it's better in a local to use a smaller kais, and you can drink the whole kais, than to use a larger kais and only drink rive of the kais. So preferably a person should use a smaller kais. A person should drink the kais, the Chachila, we should drink it in the shear of time it takes to drink today. Shtias Revius, which Mishnah Berurah never gives a clear definition. That means the normal derech to be that drink that amount of wine would be, you know, two or three gulps. That's already a person would drink it down. That's how a person should drink a lechatchila, because so it's preferable to use a smaller kais. You get a kais, you know, these they have different types of bison cups which hold three and a half ounces. Now the first kais, first night, because it's the rice, so Mishnah Berurah says you should mark with a larger shear. Larger shear, according to the way the Ramosha calculated out, is 4.4 ounces. That's the 4.42 ounces. Okay, so if you get a cup which holds 4.5 ounces, you can do that for the first kais. They exist. They're not so easy to get, but they exist. The chazish also shear is 5.1 ounces. If you want to be really be mach for the first kais, you get a shear which holds 5.1 ounces. Okay, the kais should be shalem. There shouldn't be any cracks in it. Regards to using disposables for the purpose of kiddush, etc., it's not. If it's like a hard plastic which really could last and use multiple times, that's fine. Regular plastic is really acceptable. Mikra din. The poison Rahan and the Shah, if you look at the poison with the Sosa Shah, they were talking, and they're made out of paper. Or you probably ever see, probably they're available in the Smithsonian if you want to see them. The first type of the disposable cups, I remember them. You use it once, and basically the thing was set to deteriorate. So that's not acceptable. Okay. The person should have in mind for the first kais that he's having mekayim the mitzvah of kiddush, and he's also having in mind the mekayim the mitzvah of the first of the dalet kaises. You should not start the seder until it's about a tzeis kachavim. Whatever shear you use for tzeis kachavim, you should follow that shear. What you use regularly for Matzah Shabbos, you would use the same thing for the seder as well. What type of wine? Preferably the lachos of should be red wine, unless the white wine is better. Nowadays, there's red wines available which are nice. Preferably, Ramosha holds that preferably you should use wine over grape juice. That's Ramosha's. Not every case of that. Ramosha Zalman holds there's no difference between wine and grape juice on that point. The issues with grape juice, which exist in general, apply to the Seder as well. Grape juice is Mefustar, it's pasteurized, which means it has chemicals added to it which prevent it from fermenting. The halacha that you can use wine which hasn't fermented yet, which is what grape juice is because it says that eventually it's going to ferment, but over here it's not eventually going to ferment. So that's why some places are machmir not to use grape juice in general. But if you hold that you can use grape juice in general, so the Seder is no different besides that. The Rosh holds the Seder is different. And that's why the Seder, a person should probably use wine. Mixing wine with grape juice is fine. So that's fine. I want to point out that a stam kosher bracha, not like by the Seder, a stam kosher bracha, there's no dinner drinking rev kosher. apologize. The Shiras to drink as a Revius, a red Revius. So a person making Kiddush a regular for the night, he has to drink a Revius. So he has a big Kiddush cup which holds 8 ounces. He drinks 3 ounces and he drank Revius. And he didn't hate them. He has to drink red Revius. So if your Revius is 3.3 ounces, so red Revius is 1.7 ounces. And you drank, that's the Shiras, also known as Loch, as Molly Lukmov. And you drank enough, that's in general. The Seder is unique, is different in that respect. So I just want to point that out. Okay. It says by the Baal Bais, the Baal Bais should not fill the kais for himself. A lot of places people are mocked, but nobody fills it themselves. Really, the Ikir HaKpod is on the Baal Bais. Okay. Since each person has their own kais, so different than when the person is drinking from the kais of the Baal Bais, the regular Friday night, the Baal Bais has his own kais. Nobody else has a kais. Everybody is drinking from the kais of the Baal Bais, so they have to wait for the Baal Bais to drink before they drink. Over here, each person has their own kais. Even though if they're going to be yotze with the kiddush of the Baal Bais, they should hold the kais in their hand while they're being yotze with the kiddush of the Baal Bais. But the mice, now they have their own kais. They don't have to wait for the Baal Bais to drink. Different than usual. A person should not speak, obviously, between the kiddush and the shtia. So, if a person has a minute to say the hinimuchens for the purpose of the kaisers, he should say it beforehand. Okay, the kaisers have to drink the kaisers by haseba. So, the locha of the haseba without support is not a valid haseba. So, this is not a seva. This is not a seva.
Same meaning.
No, leaning like this, you're not being supported. This is haseva. You're being supported by something. So if a person should lean, either move his chair to the side, or turn his body towards the back of the chair, but either way he should be supported. You have to be supported for haseva, otherwise it's not considered haseva. For the saver for the kaisis, you're not really going to be doing phenomenal saver because you're worried about spilling things all over yourself. It's more negayah by the matzah. It really person makes themselves comfortable. You know, so person, take off your hat, make yourself comfortable. You know, and enjoy yourself. You know, eat. You know, put a pillow there, put your head into it. You know, and sort of like chill out. You know, okay. If a person didn't drink the haseva by the first kais, a person should drink it again. Okay, Kaddish Urchatz. So you have the Tilsadayim, you should have kavana in mind that it's not going to be for the Suda. Number one, you don't make a bracha. Number two, if a person did by mistake make a bracha on this, you know, you've always had the people say, no bracha, no bracha, no bracha, bracha to Hashem, l'keinu melech olam, right? So I've seen people that actually do that. So that situation would be so. A person should eat a kazayas. And I'll tell you why in a second. Okay, so that's Kadesh Urchatz. Karpas. The karpas, it should be a green vegetable, l'chatchila. It should be something which is not morer. So celery is a good suggestion. Some people have a minhag to do parsley. I'm not a big fan of parsley. Even though, according to some, that was actually the minhag. Nowadays, parsley. Most people don't eat parsley as a vegetable.
So it should be green.
It should be green. Yeah, your rockers. So, therefore, the bracha on parsley pastures probably is a shahakol, not a hadama. So, if you plan to eat straight morer of crane or horseradish for your morer, so then use parsley because you make a shahakol on them. Because you don't make the bracha on horseradish is a shahakol. Because people don't eat horseradish. So the bracha on horseradish is a shahakol. So part of the kavanah that you have when you make the bracha on the carpets is that you might see the morer with the bracha. Well, the bracha of adama on your celery doesn't really work for your horseradish. The bracha of adama on parsley is probably wrong. The bracha of shahakol on your parsley will work for your horseradish. If you're planning to have romaine lettuce, probably you should use celery. Okay, so why pachas mikazayas? So there's a machlokes in halacha whether the mora requires a bracha rishana. In general, we eat vegetables during the meal. We do not make a bracha rishana on our vegetables during the meal. People eat lettuce during the meal. They do not make a bracha rishana. You eat an apple during the meal. You make a eitz. You eat some cucumbers during the meal. You don't make a adam because you washed. But over here, since you're eating it, even though it's after you wash, you're eating mortar after you wash, but you're eating it as a separate distinct mitzvah. So therefore, there's a machlokes rishana whether it requires a bracha rishana. Okay, so Rosh Baam says that you should have in mind when you make the adamo to be happy to be mitzi the mora with the adamo. Okay, good. Now, let's say you hold that mora does not require bracha rishana. So then this celery is no shaykhus to the mora. So what is your bracha rishana for your celery? When you make a bracha rishana? So there's a rule in halacha of a person eats something before the meal, and then he batches at the end. A person before the meal sits down and has a banana, makes a doma and has a banana, forgets to say bracha rishana, washes for the meal, eats the meal and benches. He still has to make a brain of flushes for the banana. The benching is not part of that key for that banana. Banana is no shaykhus to the meal. The benching is for the meal. The brain of flushes is for the banana. So where's your brand of fashas for your celery from before the meal? So there's an interesting halacha called Greira. If I eat an apple before the meal and I make eitz, and then I eat another apple during the meal, which would have required an eitz, but I potted it with the first eitz before the meal. So the apple during the meal requires a bracha rishana, but not a bracha achrona. The apple during the meal is distinct enough and needs its own bracha rishana, but it's your yitz a benching for the apple during the meal. Once your yotze benching for the apple during the meal, out of that your yotze benching for the apple before the meal, because the bracha rishana on the apple before the meal the bracha rishana before the meal connected the apple to the apple during the meal, and the apple during the meal is shaykhus to the benching, so that apple is also shaykhus to the benching. So if the hadama of the karpas is being yotze the mortar, and the mortar is being yotze with benching, so then you're being yotze your karpas with benching. But if the mortar does not require bracha rishana during the meal, so the carpet has no shaykhus to the meal, so it needs its own brand of flushes. Therefore, eat less than a kazayas. That's the kashrut why we say eat less than a kazayas. Because it's a suffix bracha achrona. Fine. Now, let's say a person says, I'll see yadayim. So the law is like this. Someone which is tibula b'mashka requires a tilas yadayim. What size item? How large does it have to be? So, according to the Mechaber, it has to be a kebeya. That the shear that of oichlam, which you have to wash your hands for, is a kebeya. So you eat less than a kebeya, there's no chiyuv to wash your hands. According to the Gra, the shear is a kazayas. Less than a kazayas, the Mishabura actually is a steer Mishaburas. Mishabura in Hilchos Atil Sadaim says there's no chiyuv to tila b'chlal. And then there's a footnote over there from the Chofetz Chaim. He says afterwards he was inspired into the Torah in Tafai and Hagen. Hilchos Pesach, he realizes the Torah is saying we wash less than a kazayas by karpas. But definitely you do not make a bracha. There's no chiyuv bracha on less than a kazayas. So a person says al tel sidayim for karpas and he's less than a kazayas, it's a bracha l'batala. But he's a kazayas. According to the Gra, he was chayv in that bracha. It's not a bracha l'batala. So a person will make al tel sidayim, you should eat a kazayas by the karpas. What's with bracha chayv? You don't make a bracha achrona because you have a suffix whether you need a bracha achrona or not. So suffix bracha achrona, you don't say, and that's better than a vade bracha lebatala on your alus yisadayim. Okay, our minig is to eat it without a seva, which is questionable, but that's the minig. Even if you had a kazayis, you do not make a bracha achrona. Now, Judas said the brepi adama on your karpas to be right to your mortar. So you really shouldn't leave the for that point onwards, really you shouldn't be leave the room or leave the house, because you get involved in a shayla of shini makam, you lost your bracha b'sharna. So the chachila person should not try to avoid that.
Even to wash again?
What?
Even to wash for the next time, like the washing?
Well, it's in the next room. The next room is fine. I'm saying that's normal back and forth. If a person like would step outside, I would avoid that. You should be terrible in May Malach, and that you prefer what you've done before you make the bracha, because you want the bracha of Repi Adoma, because you want to limit the hefsek between the bracha and the achila. Okay. Yachatz. So we break the matz into two parts. You put away the chelik gadol for karmen. Preferably, even the chelik katon should have a kazayas. Now, defining a kazayas is a little more complicated. Now, this comes pre-cut. And I put it away last year. It was a shulin, but it's not in his room anymore. Right. So we'll, when we get to what you master, we'll talk about some of the sizes of kazayas. It's not so hard to make it a kazayas. Okay. Magid. So a person should have in mind to become the mitzvah of Vigat Mincha B'Yom HaHuleimor. So the person should be mechavim to become the mitzvah. Mitzvah Tichus Kavanah D'Raisa L'Chatchila. A person should have Kavanah. A person should understand what he is saying. If he does not understand what he is saying, Pashas, he's not Yerzei. Okay. Now, if the person understands at least the minimal things, that's good enough. At least. There's an Indian of Lechem Oni that you should say the Haggadah on the matzahs, therefore the matzahs should be Megulas. Now, with regards to what matzahs are referring to, the matzahs of the Korah definitely that applies to. There is a good argument that you should have whatever matzah you're going to be using for Moitzi Matzah. So if you have multiple people that said you're not going to get all of your matzah out of the Korah, that matzah should be on the table, B'Shas Haggadah. However, there's a Maril that the minhag is only to have three matzahs on the table, B'Shas Haggadah. So, I think it's better, even I've seen some sorim say that you should have the other matzahs in the table. I think the Maaseh of the Maril says it's a minig. I wouldn't have it with a minig. Okay. The Mishabura says you should not be mafsik bediber. You should not be mafsik bediber once you start the Haggadah until after Gal Yisrael, until after you drink the second kais. Of course, there should not be mafsik b'dibur. You can talk, you can discuss the Haggadah, obviously. That's part of the mitzvah. But some have a conversation about the baseball scores or whatever, something like that. Mm-hmm. I would advise against that for other, multiple reasons, but definitely for mitzvah that. Then. Okay. We get to the makas eventually. In the old Haggadahs, there's this little note over there in Yiddish that a person should expand on the makas. That, you know, there's mitzvah sefer seems to to say over the nisim flows. The brashim did with us. Rambam's lashon is nisim flows. The brashim did with us that night. So the discussion of the different messages and the different points is nice. But the part of the mitzvah is to say over the nisim flows. So I am not convinced that by saying dam, tzredeya, kinim, that's really what Chazal had in mind. I think Chazal had in mind something more than that, which is why some of the old Haggadahs that I've seen, they have over there in little Yiddish words, it says, you should be markav deeper in the feet of the Sharnoi. You should explain as best as you can, according to your ability, the different nisim which took place during the Makkah. So, that's number one. Number two, the Rambam says that the mitzvah of the Rambam says it applies from the parsha of Rami Oved Ovi, which Chazal took that as basically the skeletal way of saying over the mitzvah. That's really where the mitzvah of being marked in the sefer applies. So anything before Vehisha Omdar, Tzei Lamad, probably is not really, according to the Rambam, it's not called you're being marked in the sefer Yisrael Mitzrayim. From Ahisha Omda, which that's the story of the actual, starts at the story of the, going down to Mitzrayim and coming out of Mitzrayim, etc. That's what a person's supposed to be marked with deeper. So it's better to sort of like the Arabonim, is not necessarily Yochum Rosh Chodesh, and not necessarily the times you should be expanding so much. Sort of go through it more quickly, and then in that section, spend your focus. Person has something nice to say about that. So you always have the meal to talk about during the meal. Okay. There are places where during the sefer we raise the kais. Whenever you raise the kais, you cover the matzahs because of that past boishtoy issue, which you cover the past when you're making kiddush. Same type of idea. Where do you pick up the kais? So besides Vehisha Omda, the last part you say the parak ha'bechol dar v'dar chayv and lish datzakili yatsam mitzrayim. Then you say the fikach.
So basically from Lefikach till the Baruch of God Yisrael, so you have Lefikach, two paragraphs of Hallel, and then the Baruch of God Yisrael. So there are two sheets brought down. One sheet holds it, you pick up the Kais by the Fikach, and you hold it all the way through God Yisrael. Fikach is the introduction to the Hallel. Fikach Nach Dechayam, to the one which is Oslon Lisim, Lonab Labasen, Lisim Elu, Meavas, Alkaris, etc. And we're going to say Shira Chadosh, Hallel Ka, and then we say the Hallel, the two periods of Hallel, and then the God Yisrael. So you're saying Halalokos, which is a standard way to say Halalokos. There's a Rashi in Pesachim which says that the Lechem Oini is called Shainim of Dvarim Harbe. Oinim, you say on the Matzah Dvarim Harbe. Like Rashi says the you say on it Haggadah. You say says over there you say on it the Haggadah and the Halal. So Rashi holds you say the Halal on the Matzahs. So according to the Minhag of Rashi, you would pick up the Kais by the Fikach, cover the matzahs, put the kais down after the fikach, have the matzahs uncovered, say the two paragraphs of Hallel, cover the matzahs, pick up the kais for the bracha, and drink. So whatever your minhag is, you should do that. The second kais for Svardim, they do not make a Rei Pirgah on the second kais. They were yotzei the second kais with the bracha of Rei Pirgah on the first kais. Ashkenazim, we say a bracha on the second one. The person should have in mind to kind the mitzvah of the second of the Dalet Kaisis, and he should not speak in between the bracha of Gal Yisrael and the bracha of Rei Pirgah Gofen, and between the drinking. You should remember to drink it by Seva Small. Fine. Preferably you should drink the whole Kais, if not the whole Kais, Rav Kais. Preferably you should drink it in the time of Bebas Achas, which means basically one gulp or the second gulp, which would be the standard for that amount. Again, if your amount is 3 ounces, that would be the standard amount. If your amount is 8 ounces, I wouldn't necessarily advise you to do that. The person who's sitting and sipping, so you have to finish it in Kedechilis Pras. All of the courses, after you finish it, the share of time it takes Kedechilis Pras. So how long is Kedei Achilas Pras? So there's a Sefer who is Malakit, the Zmanim for Kedei Achilas Pras. So the shortest time of Kedei Achilas Pras, you know, is two minutes. That's quite a chumrah, that's not the Ikir Adin. After that, the Shurim are 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7.5 minutes, and 9 minutes. So, Moshe says, right, the 9 minutes is definitely not. That's the chumrah on Yom Kippur. The chumrah of not waiting 9 minutes when somebody has to eat on Yom Kippur. It's not a gael ochel ma'isa. Rav Moshe puts he holds that the ikar shir is four. He says 4.5 minutes is the ikar shir. So a person preferably should finish what he has, his eating of his matzah or drinking of the yain in 4.5 minutes. That's what to be samech on for sure. If you can do the 2 minutes, that's really nice. Okay. Okay, rochsa. So now, so you're going to wash your hands, and you're washing for the suda. You're saying al tisadayim, but your hands are clean because you washed already once before, and your pashas you've been saying haggadah the whole time, so your hands are still clean. So we said this before, there's a mile of having in mind not to be mitzi for the, when you wash, and have in mind it's not for the suda. So that allows you now to wash with a bracha without it. The Bir Halacha says, even so, it's preferably if a person knows he wasn't mitzi das in his hands, it's preferably he should be matam his hands, therefore he vare his achi in latila. So a person can scratch his head, a person can put his hands in part of his body, which is normally covered, and Bavadi bring himself to Varechiv, and then he can make a bracha on the without a shayla. Okay. How big is a kazayas? I guess that's okay. Just an introduction to the world of kazayasim. So the simplest understanding of a kazayas actually is it's the size of a kazayas. Now, what size is? So the Mishnah says in the Sechtes, Kalim, Misha goes through a list of all the different shiurim, with different items. It goes through kazayis. It says it's zayis haguri, which is to be understood is that's the average size of an olive. Olives come, and Rambam says, interestingly enough, olives come in seven sizes according to olive growers. The sizes are small, medium, large, extra large, jumbo, extra jumbo, and colossal. So the medium-sized olive is called extra large. I just want to, that's a medium-sized olive. It's extra large. Marketing is a wonderful thing, right? Right. Eggs. We'll talk about eggs. Eggs come in five sizes, which are small, medium, large, extra large, and jumbo. So large is the medium-sized egg. So we use large eggs for that purpose also. Okay. So the simple understanding of gazayis is a gazayis. And Reb Chaim Belusher actually held it that halacha l'maase. Reb Chaim Belusher said the shear of the matzah you have to eat is the size of the palm of your hand. Which he says now, obviously, kazayis has a certain height to it. It's not the size of an egg. It's the equivalent amount of volume. So that's how what he held halacha l'maase. So if somebody does that, I can't tell you that they're wrong. The Chazanish, the Sifer writes that the Chazanish held meikar, could be that was correct. He suggested doing it the size of your whole hand, including your fingers. So that's not very big, right? Okay, so why in the world are we eating these kazesim, which look like they're more like they're the size of some ice that once Rashi was by Rebarrel, Zichel Bracha. So Rebarrel gave Rashiva a kais to the bench, and it was a very large kais because they're very makman, a very large shear. So the Rashiva picked up the kais very high. So Rebarrel asked him, like, why is it so high? And he said, if that's a revius, this is a tefa. Okay, Now, it's a joke, but he's right.
Right.
He's right that the two are tied together. So the reason why we have this issue is that the... there's a machlokes rishonim, number one. What's the relationship between a kazayis and a kebeya? Tosafot says that a kazayis, because I'm referring to, was a half the size of an egg. It was a half of an egg. Okay. Shulchan Aruch brings this down. He says that very interesting lashon of Shulchan Aruch. I think it's Taf Hezayin, if I recall correctly. He says, Yesh Oimrim, this is the whole sif. Yesh Oimrim, the size of a kazayis is half of an egg. That's the whole simon. That's the whole sif, that's the whole simon. Very rarely they say Yesh Oimrim when there's only one opinion. All right, so what's the other opinion that he doesn't say? So the Rambam says that a kazayis is less than a third of a kebeya. How much less he doesn't say? So, with the assumption of the price, they'll say, let's assume it. You basically use a third of a kebeya to be able to understand the because we don't know how much less. So we say a third. So it's either a third or a half. That's the other opinion, like that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention. So Mishnah Berurah says you deal with mitzvahs to rice, so you should be machmer the size of a half of a kebeya. Number one. Now, when you measure your egg, how big is it? You measure an egg, do you count the shell for measuring the egg? So a kebeya is given to us in halacha in many areas in relationship to other things. You measure your shear for being chayv in the mitzvah of challah is 43.2 eggs, 43 and a fifth eggs. Over there, you measure it with a shell, which means with the shell, with the airspace, etc. What about for over here, the calculation over here for achila? Do you measure it with the airspace? So Mishnah Berurah says you should remember on that as well. Now, Chazanish points out that nobody holds like that. That's a chumra of Mishnah Berurah, that with pashas, the measuring of the kebeya for the purposes of these purposes means without the shell. Without the shell, without the airspace, a little bit of airspace inside also. So that's the difference. What's the difference between with the shell and without the shell? He says it's 10%. So if I tell you, for argument's sake, that the size of an egg is 50 cc's, so it's 45 cc's. Okay? He goes with the Mishnah Berurah goes with the larger shear. And then there's the famous shaila, are the eggs and the kazesim, which we have nowadays, is that what Chazal meant? Did it change? So Mishnah Berurah is marked with that as well. So Mishnah Berurah is marked with three shitas. We go with the half of an egg as opposed to a third of an egg. We assume that the eggs nowadays are our eggs, which we see on the market, are not the right size. We need to double the volume. So you double the volume of the egg, and then you take half, which means basically you take the size of it, and you use the egg as is, including the shell. The Chazon Ish says, Pashas Mikra Adin, we can go with a third of an egg, and you can calculate that it's a smaller egg, but not with the shell. In regard to the issue of Niskat No Beim or not, so Mikra Adin, he says that for the purposes of a kazayis, you could be makel. And I'll tell you why in a second. So, but he says the system of the mishabura ready was set to be machmer, and the gross has to be machmer on it. So he's not going to pass the lochel ma'isa unless he's conservative. A person should not do that. So a person's a diabetic. You know, he's asking him that he has to limit his starch intake, whatever it is. It's one shayla. You know, and the person is an average person, a nice, healthy, strapping young man who doesn't have gluten issues. You know, he's not a celiac. You know, something like that. So there's another answer. So there's a range of how you're going to answer that question. So what's this thing with the eggs and the we're saying that? So the Gemara gives us the calculation of a revius. A revius, by the way, means a quarter. It has to be a quarter of something. It's a quarter of a lug. The revius is a quarter of a lug. So we know that a lug, the Gemara gives us that the shear of a lug is a certain amount of eggs. So we know that. There are six bayim in a lug. That's a famous, that's clear in the Gemara. Okay? So if I want to figure out what a lug is, I take six eggs, and I measure the volume of six eggs, right? So how do you do that? So there's two suggestions in the Shulchan Aruch how to do that, but you take a container, fill it up to the top with water, pour it out into another container, okay? Put six eggs in the first container, which is now empty, and pour the water back in till it's full on the top. The amount of water which is left in the second container is the amount of the volume of the eggs. Right? Not rocket science. That's what the Torah says. He gives two ways of doing it. That's the one he suggests is a better way of doing it. Right? So that's the volume of six eggs. That's the amount of a revi. That's a volume. I could divide that into four parts and I have a revi. So if I tell you that, you know, nowadays I measure how big an egg is, that should be the size of my revi. Problem is, the more also gives me a measurement of revius, the more a revius of a lug, there are a certain amount of, there's six eggs in a lug, there's four lug in a cob, there's six cob in a saw, and a mikvah is 40 saw. Okay? And the more says clearly that the size of how, that's Chazal said, that a mikvah is an amma by three ammas. So once I know that a mikvah is an amma by three ammas, I know the relationship between eggs to that. There's eggs have to be a certain size. Because they have to, if you do your math, remember, right, the 40,000 plus eggs that you add up in your mikvah better give you the size of a mikvah. So the more it makes the calculation for us, the more it says that the size of a revius, well, an amma is, well, how big is an amma? So an amma is six tefachim in an amma, and there's four etzbos in a tefa. There's 24 etzbos in an amma. So the Mora says the size of revius is two etzbos by two etzbos by 2.7 etzbos. The Mora says you take a little thing and you square and you make mark it off. Two by two by 2.7, that's a revius. So came along the tzlach, and he points out when he did the math, the measurement of, he took his fingers and he measured out that size, filled up with the liquid, and he did eggs and figured out that amount of liquid, and the amount of liquid based on the eggs was half the amount based on his fingers. So he says, something happened over here. Either my fingers got bigger or the eggs got smaller. Like, something happened over here. So his Talmud, the Chumri Alva, says the Nerd Peter was actually over 6 feet. He was 6 feet plus tall. He was big. So he says maybe the Rebbe's fingers are not the average size fingers. So none of you laughed. So we don't know how to interpret that laugh. That's what he writes. But he's not the only one who had the Sa'ara. The Sa'ara was actually mentioned by one of the Rishonim. Already mentioned the Sa'ara that they don't stim. So the Chazon Ish says, whenever I'm discussing revius, whether my eggs are bigger or small is irrelevant. Chazal gave me two ways to measure revius. Chazal said clearly that measurement of revius is based on a certain measurement of its bows. So I don't care how big your eggs are, it's irrelevant. I have to meet the criteria of the revius, which Chazal defined by fingers. So I don't get involved in the philosophical question, what are the size of eggs now when it's compared to that, it's irrelevant. The Maisa, I have to meet the criteria of its bows by any cases of the Raisa. So discussing a revius, I have to meet the measurement based on the revius of measuring the fingers. Now, what about a kazayas? He says, the Gemara nowhere in Shas does the Gemara tie kazayas into a kebeya or to revius. It's a toisus, making a cheshbon based on making a cheshbon, and the Rambam is a different cheshbon, etc. And therefore, the more it ever ties, so why do I have to say the kazayasim change? So maybe once upon a time the size of a kazayas was a third of an egg or half of an egg, and nowadays it's a seventh of an egg. Why do I have to tie the two together? See, he brings the Shuvah Zagonim, and the Shuvah Zagonim says that why did the Rishon give the measurements in a kazayas? Like, we could have had, like, so the Torah says, some name of some measurement, and that'll be the mitzvah. Okay. So the Gaonim asked the question, the Chazanim brings the Shuvah Zagonim, they answered because Kazayasim, Zayas was always available. Imagine the Rishon gave the measurement based on a certain size. Rishon knows that we're going to be running all over the world. So he says, well, what was the size of that thing which you're referring to in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu? I don't know. But then the Chazanish posits, based on what the Gaonim were saying, means you use the size of the Zayas where you live. Your Zman and your Malkin. So if I live in a place where they have Kazayasim, which are the size of baseballs, that's my Kazayas. And I live in a place where the size of the average Zayas, the middle size Zayas, is smaller than that, that's also my Kazayas. So Mikra Din, the Zayas really works with the Zayas which exists, Bismanu. Since the Maisa, the Rambam said the Shear is the third, he doesn't, and the Mishnah Berurah is Machron, he doesn't want to ignore that Shita. So again, if somebody's going to come to me who's a diabetic, I'm going to give him a different answer. I'm going to tell him you can use the size of Kazayas. So, which is not so hard.
In Bavel, they had Zaysim.
They had Zaysim in Bavel. The question is that they have Zaysim where Tosis lived, is what the question is. So, southern France, there's Zaysim. In Germany, they didn't have Zaysim.
No, I remember someone tying once. They didn't have olives in Bavel.
Okay, that's probably the person who wanted to say is they didn't have olives in Germany, is what he wanted to say. That's probably what the person wanted to say, because that is actually one of the Rishonim actually writes the Lashon. I've never seen a Zayas. I'm just hearing it based on a Gemara. So, but he lived in Germany. So Tosis, who was the gave us the cheshbon of it being half of an egg. So if you want to get into your historical discussions, might be an interesting thought to think about what that's about. Okay, fine. So that being said, after all everything is said and done, I have my piece of paper over here, I put it over here, right? So how big is a kazayas? So if you calculate a kazayas based on the half of an egg, so Rav Chaim Noah says it's going to be 27 cc's. Okay? That's okay. Based on a third of an egg, it's going to be 17.3 cc's. I can make copies of these. Everyone can have copies. Oh, cubic centimeters. Cubic centimeters.
Okay. Please make copies.
Okay, so according to Ramosha, it's going to be, if it's a half of an egg, it's going to be 43.5, and if it's a third of an egg, it's 29. According to Chazanish, it's 50 and 33. The Biskarov has the biggest shear, which is, I didn't even fill that in because I didn't want to get involved in it. Okay. That being said, Rebadner and his Kazayas paper did a lot of research on it. He comes out that half of an egg would be 27 and a half cc, and a third would be 18 cc. Now, next step. Listen to this. Right? So, measuring by... how do you measure cc's on a matzah? Like, that's not the easiest thing to do, especially, a hand matzah. So... In the wonderful world of the metric system, so the weight of a gram is 1 milliliter of water fills a cubic centimeter at room temperature and weighs a gram. So liters, centimeters, and grams are tied to each other. 1 gram of water at room temperature is a milliliter and will fill one cubic centimeter. Okay, so I need volume, so I need cubic centimeters, but I can figure out that volume based on weight, because you can transfer from weight to volume. The only problem that you have to figure out is that that's the weight of water. Now matzah weighs less than water. Right? Matzah, you put matzah on top of water, it will float. If it's heavier than water, it wouldn't float. You put a piece of lead on top of water, it doesn't float. Because its weight is heavier than the weight of water. So those of you remember your specific gravity, the water has given a specific gravity of 1. Right? Lead's specific gravity is 22, if I call it correctly, something like that. Right? So it's 22 times as heavy. A gram, a cc of lead will be 20 times as heavy as a cc of water. Right? 1 cc of water is 1 gram. Of lead will be 22 grams. Right? Remember that? Oh, good. Okay. Am I right? 22?
I don't know.
I think so. Something like that, yeah. So what about matzah compared to water? So this wonderful sefer that Rabbi Braunfeld, he sat and actually did this work for us. And he was nice enough to give us the information. So matzahs, of course, aren't uniform. But he did, measuring. And then he figured out, okay, based on that, I can now weigh my matzah and get my volume of matzah based on the relationship, the ratio of that vis-a-vis water. So he came out that the density of matzahs, hand matzahs, he has for Papatzelim, for Satmar, for Haredim, for Lakea, for Lakewood, etc. He has for the machine matzahs, he has Hadar, Shmura, Yehuda, Geffen, Kemach, Yad Binyamin, and he gives a range. So he said, okay, now we can do the math, we can figure out how much we need. Okay, so if you want to be machmer, the shear that the Mishabura is being machmer. So he came out for your hand matzah. This is Lakewood hand matzah. We'll give you another way of doing this in a second. So Lakewood hand matzah comes out to be, he says that, let's get this turned on. Okay, of course it says error. Just when you need it, right?
You actually
think
it was a CD player?
What?
I thought it was a CD player.
That's so 20th century.
Something's not
this. Doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, set to 0 grams. Okay. That's 18 grams. He says your goal is for the largest share that you would need would be 29 grams. But 26.
Scientific right here.
29. Okay.
Can I even measure this at the center?
I do beforehand. Now, that is the largest shear. For Korech, which is for that to the Rabbanon, you don't do machmer the chumras. So you can use the Mishra says you don't have to send his that the size everything changed. So the eggs are half the size of we're using for Mati Matzah, and you can use a third. So he says you need 11.2 grams. That's 13. So that's your Karech.
Not bad.
That's not very large. Right? And for Afikoman, which is, even though it's Drabonon, Mishabur prefers that you should have 2 kazesim. That's definitely less than an ounce.
Less than an ounce.
Okay, he says it should be 21.9. 22. So that's Afikoman.
So over the course of the night, you're eating one whole matzah, basically.
Basically, you eat one a little more than a matzah, between mitzvah matzah, karef, and avikarim. You're not eating a lot. So, now, Rabbi Bodner did this for us. He said he did. You could do it by weight, but you don't necessarily have a scale next to you. So, you can pass this around. Imagine that you buy your matzahs and you see how many matzahs are per pound. So you can figure out b'erech how much the weight of one matzah is. So then, based on that, depending on how thin or thick your matzahs are, you can figure out how much you need to eat. So these three charts over here, thin matzah, medium matzah, and thick matzahs, 9 per pound is called thin, 7.5 per pound is called medium, and 6 per pound is called thick. For if you're talking about thick matzah, for karech, you need 20% of the matzah for karech. If you're talking about thin matzah, you need 30%. For mochi matzah, for thin matzah, you need a little bit over half. And for thick matzah, you need a third. So you can do it that way also.
How would Rabbi classify this matzah Rabbi has right here?
This matzah is like a matzah is about between 10 and 11 matzahs per pound.
So that would be thin.
This would be very thin. Yeah, very thin.
Can we get matzahs?
Yeah. Now, if you use machine matzah, so I had some guys over last night. I'm doing my testing myself for eating for the matzah, eating for Pesach. So for machine matzah, it's a little bit different density. So he says for machine matzah you need 31 grams. A board is about 32 grams. 33.
31.
31. So that's mochi matzah. The most common kashir of the shavur, that's mochi matzah. So if you're eating more than that, right, you're just enjoying matzah, you're not doing any mitzvah. Right? And even afikoman is 23.4. 24. That's afikoman. So now for karech, it's half of that. 12 ounces. That's karech. So, and this is all assuming the Mishabura's shitas. If you want to go with the Chazanish, it's a third, and you want to go, that Bechlal, even by Motzi Matzah, you can be more Mekel. So, now, what about the second night? First night, it's the Raisa, Motzi Matzah is the Raisa, Karach is clearly the Rabbanon, Avi Karmin is the Rabbanon, Mikra Adin, Mishmur Pas is Avi Karmin, it's the Rabbanon, but there's a matter of having two Kazasim. What about the second night? So, there's a stira in regards to the second night. There is part of the argument of the second night is you should be mach for the second night as if it's the first night. So you should be machmir your motzi matzah as if it's the first night. Or the maisa, it's the drabanan. So do you have to machmir the larger shear on the second night? So that's the machlokes in the poskim. So I think a person just finds eating large amounts of matzah difficult. So I would suggest that they go with the smaller shear in the second night. The smaller shear, but you're still eating tukazesim, would be the size of the afikoman, which is 13, 19, 24. So that would be the enough for Motzi Matzah for the second night. Okay. That is the shurim for that. Now, he also works out Morer based on this Teshbin. Morer is even more challenging than Matzah because you have to work out what is the density of your stalks versus the, as opposed to the leaves. But Rabbi Bodner did the work a little bit differently. It basically came out, this is a kazakh. This is the actual size.
Yep. It's very large.
What? What?
It's really big.
What?
Now, if thorn stalks are bigger,
stalks being bigger doesn't necessarily work to your advantage. It just means because if it's, it adds volume, right? But you know, also adds dense. They're dense, so you might want to add volume with less dense than more dense. So he also does. I have a picture somewhere where he does it with. Just stalks. It's somewhere in my packet over there. I'll pull it out. Okay. If you're using straight grain, so basically the symbol of cheshbon for grain is you take a shot glass which holds a fluid ounce, and that's the shear. One fluid ounce of grain is the shear. Okay. Let's go through some of the lochas over here and then finish. Okay, where's my bag? So, if you do it beforehand, you just before Yom Tov, because I'm not using electric scales on Yom Tov. You just put it in bags, and that's what I do. I put it in bags, and I have a container, and before Motzi Matzah, everybody gets a Motzi Matzah bag, a Morer bag, and a Matzah for Karet bag, and another Morer bag for Karet. So they get four. Everybody gets four bags, and they're color coded, of course. But you know, different. You know, because you know, that's part of being in the Rangel household. Anyway, everybody has by their seats, so it's very simple. They come back, they wash, and they say their own. They say their brachas. And the only thing I have to wait for Moitzi for me because they need Lechem Mishnah. So I give a little piece of Lechem Mishnah to everybody, and that's it. So the only person that has to actually measure by the Seder is me because I'm using the matzahs from the car. Right? Everybody else has it pre-measured. It makes life so, like, you know, you sit there, the person says a Moitzi, and then he starts taking matzahs out of the box and start looking at it, making, you know, and the half-sick is like, you know, Gavaldic, you know. Like, we're being machmer, like, the night of the Seder, like, everything in Bechumra, like, you know, we sit there, like, 5 minutes before we eat our matzah. I don't think it's the smartest thing in the world, you know, if there's another way of doing it, which, like, is available. Okay. Preferably, a person should have in mind when you make the bracha of alachilas matzah for the karech and for the hafikarmen as well. A person should not speak till after karech. There's actually a shita that the Chok Yaker brings down not to speak till after hafikarmen because the bracha is going after hafikarmen also. That would be a phenomenal accomplishment of lashon hara issues by the Suda. But the ma'isa, the minigram, is not to be machmer that much. But the Torah mentions not to speak till after karech. So a person should not speak till after karech. Unless it's a sarach of the bracha. Person should have in mind to make the mitzvah of the rice of after matzos. Person should eat the matzah v'aseva. Person should eat it with the kerech in his pras. So the chachila, if a person could do it. Now, once you get these sizes, which are not these, like, you know, you're eating a whole house, you know, eating it, the kerech in his pras is not as difficult. You know, you start picturing, you know, this is my motzi matzah for the second night. I'm using a smaller shiver myself. I think a person can eat that in 2 minutes. Like, especially you count the 2 minutes when you swallow, you know. Some of the shurma that people have, the size of a hand matzah like this, I understand, you know, like, very difficult. But within 4 minutes, a person can get into four and a half minutes for sure. Person should eat about seva. We mentioned that if a person, I actually take my hat off from that point, and I lean against the pillow. You remember I said it, right? So, Aiden enjoys it very much, like, you know, like, you know, see me without my hat, you know, like, you know, chilling out a little bit. Okay. The minig is not to dip the matzah in salt. The Sardim, actually, the Ravadjan, because the Ravadjan says you should dip it in salt, but the minig is not to dip it in salt for Ashkenazim. So you say the moitzi and the matzah, you eat your kazayas, then you say the bracha of eat more, make a bracha of alachilas more. You travel the more in the charoisis. So the mar really should be for Ashkenazim. The minhag is the toivel just at one end of it. That's sufficient. Sfaradim and Noig, the Ravadja holds that they should. Everything has to be put into the charoisis. You should shake off the charoisis before you eat it because that affects the time of the mar. What you use for mar? Romaine. There's issues with romaine lettuce with bugs. if it's not so hard. I mean, it's time consuming to check romaine for bugs, but it's doable. The brusher made a phenomenal thing called soap. And soap actually has a property. The reason, what is, you have this like greasy plate, all of a sudden you put soap on it, and you're able to wash it off. And without the soap, you can't get it off. It actually breaks the bond, which holds it onto the, that's the property of this chemical that soap is. It breaks the bond, which is holding it to the plate. It also breaks the bond of the feet of the bugs to your lettuce. So if you make a soap solution, you know, it should be somewhat soapy solution, and you soak your lettuce in it for a while, then you put it under running water, any bugs which might be there, you know, and you make sure you get all the crevices, etc., any bugs which should be there probably are not there anymore. Then you can just check. You make three checks, the Chazaka check type of approach, to see if your process has worked. If you find some bugs, different ball game. If you don't find any bugs, you can assume that, you know, either you did a bad, very bad job, or your chazaka that you did it right and it's okay. So you can do that. You rely on that for that purpose. Don't buy organic romaine lettuce. Part of organic is they don't put any types of pesticides, which is beautiful. It's good for your stomach system, but it guarantees that you'll have bugs. Right? So it's very hard to. But if you and some brands are better, means there's more pesticides than others. Right? Regards to our purposes, like, you know, the pesticides is a mile. You know. So there's those of you who live locally. So and the Costco carries a brand called Andy Boy. Andy Boy is Kamat Clean. Kamat Clean. And you, some other, if they have that in the neighborhood, you'd be very happy.
We have it at Shalom's.
What?
We have it at Shalom's.
Have it at Shalom's now? Okay, good.
Every now and then.
What?
Every now and then.
Every now and then. Okay, but you can't, you know, before Pesach, I can guarantee you it's going to come out quickly. Okay.
We also have Aiden's in Shalom's.
Right. That's true too. Right. Now, so Adam will give you a demonstration on how to do chazaka checks. When you make the bracha al chilas mor, you have in mind for the karech as well, and you have kavanah to make the mitzvah of eating mor b'zman hazeh. You should eat a kedei chilas pras. It's the rabbanon. You can be more makel, but the person should get it in 4.5 minutes. I don't see a problem with that. For karech, we saw the size of the karech, kezayis is not very big. Karech is eaten by haseva. The Mishabur brings the question whether you say kain osahilu. I'm meaning to say it. He said it might actually be a hefsik. Some people are meaning to say it after they eat. So mor is not haseva, but karech is haseva. Person during shulchan orech. So he should make sure he doesn't overeat. He has room for his afikoman. There is a mitzvah of Simchas Yomtiv, and the person should enjoy the meal. There's a mitzvah of Kibud Eim, which is the Raisa. The application of that to your meal, you can figure out. The menu is we don't eat roasted. Ashkenazim don't eat roasted by the Seder. Even a pot roast. So of course, one year the local store provided a Seder meal, you know, pre-packaged Seder meal, and it was roasted chicken. So I got a phone call from somebody Erev Yom Tov, you know, about something else. I said, "Did you just say roasted chicken?" So yeah, that's what we're using for the Seder. I said, "No, you're not."
Oh wow.
It's kosher, but you know, I don't think someone was thinking the 300% that they knew this halacha. Okay, you should. So, but they also ordered their Shabbos day meal from the same store, which wasn't roast. It was actually a different type of chicken, which was had liquid in it. So I said, "Why don't you switch your menu?" He said, "Oh, okay, I can do that." So okay, so we solved that problem. You should eat the afikoman before katzos. The katzos, which is on the most modern charts, is probably not correct. The katzos which you're looking at is from sunrise to sunset, So then from sunset to sunrise, that's the chatzos you're looking at over there in the chart. That is, I mean, that is the number is astronomically correct. That is the number, halfway between those 2 points. Whether that's the halachic calculation of when chatzos is supposed to be, pashas, it's actually supposed to be not like that. It's actually supposed to be a little bit earlier. So preferably if a person could get to Avikarmen about 20 minutes before that would be a ma'ala. Without getting involved in all of the reasons why that's true, that's a different share, a different time. Okay. A person should eat 2 kazesim, but we saw that that's not very big. If a person finds that difficult, you could eat half of that amount that we saw for the same size as the karech. Right. A person should eat it with haseva, kareich ilis pras. A person should have in mind to mekayim the mitzvah of, according to the Rashbam and according to Rashi, Afikarmen is the ikir mitzvah of the raisa. So you should have a mind to mekayim the mitzvah of whatever mitzvah you're mekayim. Afikarmen, you should have a kabbalah to mekayim it. Okay. You're not supposed to eat after the afikarmen. So whatever you're planning to eat, get it in now. There is a famous suggestion by the Avinezer of the Tanai of Avinezer. You might have heard of some of you have heard of that. This idea that your tzeder is running late. Now, let's clarify something. The Kuli Alma, you have to get Mutzi Matzah before Chatzos. That's not negotiable. Avikarmen before Chatzos, okay, some people are not Machmer on Avikarmen before Chatzos. Mutzi Matzah before Chatzos, unless you're the option of her, like, you know, you don't have an option. Right? It's a Chalkis. Tenoyim, because how we pass, and the Iker Pesach is that the Zman Achila of Motzi Matzah is before is till Chatzos. So you want to make the mitzvah of the rice about Motzi Matzah, you better do it before Chatzos. That's, I mean, basic good suggestion. If you want to, after Chatzos Halachot, you do not make the bracha while Achila. If a person gets the Afikarmen, not sorry, if a person gets the Motzi Matzah after Chatzos, he does not make a bracha while Achila's Matzah. You lose your bracha. Because it's Mechalik is Misharnim, and therefore, Misafik, you can't make a bracha. So you possibly lost your mitzvah. Avikarmen Chatzos. Okay, so the Avinezer came along and said that according to the Shita, which holds that the mitzvah is only till Chatzos, the issue of eating other things is only till Chatzos. So after Chatzos, you can eat whatever you want. According to the Shita, it's the whole night. So you got the whole night. So he says, before Chatzos, take another set of matzah and say, if the mitzvah is a tochatzois, I mean, this is the shame of a carbon. If it's not, if the mitzvah is the whole night, I'm eating stam matzah. Okay, then wait tochatzois and say, if the mitzvah tochatzois is now post chatzois, I can eat whatever I want. If this is the whole night, I didn't have a carbon yet. So I can then you continue your meal and you'll eat another afikarmen at the end. That's Avinezer's Kiddush. That assumption that he's making, that if the mitzvah is till Chatzos, you'll eat after Chatzos, is very debatable. That's his assumption. So then he has his good cheshbon. Eat before Chatzos, wait till Chatzos, and then eat your meal. But that's not so poshut. So many persons do not want to rely on that. Probably what you've done is eaten, even on a cup of one sheet, and you can't eat it anymore, misafik. And that's the end of the meal. So, keep it of aim is the raisa. Yeah.
Is for both first and second night, or just?
It applies to both nights. You know, the second night is maybe a little more cool. Like, okay.
Afterward?
What?
You drink afterward?
So you can drink afterwards. You yes and no. You can drink water afterwards. So that's for sure, Mutter. We'll go through. I'll get that at the end if you don't mind. Okay, let me just. Okay, Borech. So the kaiser should be washed and cleaned out inside and out before you, the kaiser brechas. The Muslim, the more says, requires shtifa b'adacha. You should wash out the kaisers. So you should bench. Yeah, mind the kind that's the rice of brechas. The Muslim. You should go straight from the benching into the kais. You're not supposed to. The tzidur b'emes tichan l'kais. You're not supposed to speak once you pick up the kais for benching. You shouldn't speak till after you make the rapier gofen. Have in mind that you're being mekayim in the midst of the kaises. Drink it ba'seva. You should drink the chachil the whole kais, rav kais, etc. Okay. Then after is baruch is halal. there's a good argument, if you have very strong hands, you should hold the kosher for the whole challah. Some people find that difficult, so I wouldn't necessarily tell you have to do that. Okay, the chiyuv of halal, the chiyuv of haggadah, and the chiyuv of halal apply to women like men as well, even though it's a shazam groma. Women are chayiv in halakosis, women are chayiv in matzah, women are chayiv in sibrisis mitzrayim, women are chayiv in halal. Sometimes women are busy taking care of the kids, food, etc. So the minimal amount of haggadah that a person has to say to fulfill the mitzvah is he should, the woman should say that should, you know, the kiddush, all that stuff on the front. They say kaddish urchatz karpas yachatz, and then during for magid, a person has to minimally say the ten makas, minimally say the Ramil Hayomer, from Ramil Hayomer until the bracha of Gal Yisrael. So that whole section the women have to say as well. Women are chayiv and halal. Nirtza, okay, so you're allowed to drink. After what are you allowed to drink after the Dalet Kriya? So the last Kriya, you should make sure you drink enough that you can be able to say Bracha Achrona. And you should have in mind for that Bracha Achrona for all of the Kriyas that you drank. So the third and fourth cup for sure. Even the first and second cup were not, you do not drink them during the meal. You drank them before the meal. The Mishnah Berurah has a Bir Halacha in Kuf Hey something. It has a suffix whether benching will cover the wine from Kiddush. Because it wasn't, you didn't drink it during the meal. No shaykhs in the meal, so why should benching cover it? So he has three arguments. One is that possibly it covers it because it's Sarah Chasuda, so benching will cover it. One is, it says, even if benching won't cover it, if you have kavanah beferish to be motzi it, it'll cover it. He says the best eitzah is the bench on the kohes. And then you'll say an al gefen on that and have in mind for the wine from before the meal. Or the din of greira. If you drink wine during the meal also, send the rapier gefen from before the meal was used during the meal. And the wine during the meal, benching covers, and once it covers the wine during the meal, it covers the wine from before the meal also. So a person drinks wine during the meal, or grape juice during the meal, so then the rapier gefen from before the meal is shayach to that, and then the benching covers it. This is the best thing. So if you know, people. Oh, somebody asked me, like, I tell the person who's benching on the Christ to be mitzi me with all the gefen. Says, the Rebbe doesn't have a shear. Says, I'm not covering the wine I drank now. I'm covering the wine I drank for Kiddush. Because that's the Mishnah Berurah's best eitzah. He says, you should have in mind that. So the problem which you have over here, Rosh Hamazalman and Riyasha both asked that, you know, there's a hafzik. So Halacha brings out the advice that they didn't have a long, very long Seder. Because there's a sheer echol from your first kois till you say Halacha Geffen by the last kois. Guaranteed. Right? Unless you have like one of these, like, you know, 1 hour Seder from beginning to end type of thing, you know. So that's a good question. So what do you want to drink afterwards? So anything which is alcoholic you can't drink. Anything with alcohol you can't drink. Even a drink with non-alcoholic, but it has a strong flavor, you shouldn't drink it. So Mishnah Berurah says drinking tea is fine, preferably not with sugar, he says, because he figures that's a strong taste. Apple juice doesn't really have a very strong flavor to it. Oranges maybe would. I think it has a stronger flavor to it. Water for sure is fine. If a person feels they need something else besides that, they can be makel to drink the juices.
You dilute something to drink it?
You could do that too, yeah. So, okay.